Christ is indeed the Lord of our lives. And it will be very, very clear to those whom we relate with, and clear to ourselves, that in all the things that we do with just one objective, and that is to bring honor and glory to the Lord. Now, sitting at Jesus' feet also means we are learning humility. So first, it is sitting at his feet means submitting ourselves to him. Secondly, it means we are learning humility from the Lord. Yes, we are learning from the one who personified humility. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in the city of Philippi, said this: "Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because he is God." He didn't think it was robbery to be equal with God, because he is God. "But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as of a man, he humbled himself." You see, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death, obedient to the will of God, even to death, even the death of the cross. He died the death that was actually designed for the worst kind of criminals. Yes, that was the extent to which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ humbled himself. Now, when a master disciples someone, he's trying actually to groom that someone to be like himself. So, when we are seated at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, let us understand that we want ourselves to be discipled by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so when we sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, our prayer should be this: Lord, be pleased to disciple me. Make me more and more like me, like you. Teach me, O Lord God, to be humble like you are humble. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Let this humble mind of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ also be in us. Now, we can only be having this kind of mind if we are willing to sit at the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and hear him speak to us. Now, when I think about Jesus sitting at the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I can't help but think of the saint, great saint of the Old Testament, Moses, the great hero of the faith. Remember the number of occasions that Moses was in the presence of the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. Yes, 40 days and 40 nights he was in the presence of the Lord. There was, of course, the occasion when he went up to the mountain to receive God's Ten Commandments, and God wrote the Ten Commandments on two tablets of stone. Now, he was there listening to the one true living God. And you know, the Word of God tells us this, that when God spoke to Moses, he spoke to Moses as a friend to a friend. Now, what posture do you think Moses would be in when he was on the mount with the one true living God? I suppose, my dear friends, he was seated in the presence of the one true living God. I dare believe that was what he did. He sat in the presence of the Lord. Now, in Exodus 34, verse 28, if you would turn to Exodus 34 and look at verse 28. Exodus 34 and verse 28. Well, let me read this for you. "And Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. This perhaps was the third time that Moses was in the presence of the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. Perhaps the third time. "And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him." In other words, he did not know that his face shone when he talked with, when God talked with him. Verse 30, "And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him." Now, what did his face shine with? What do you think his face shine with? my dear friends, I dare say that his face shone with the holiness of God. He must have reflected the holiness of God. Likewise, this must be the result of our sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, hearing his word each day as we do our quiet time. In time, my dear friends, holiness should be reflected by us. Yes, if we continue to have this activity of sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ to hear his word, can we be sinning if we have been sinning before? No, we can't. We will have to stop sinning. We will have to try to live a life that will glorify the name of the Lord. Yes, can we be as unloving as before? No, we will stop being unloving. We will want to love just like the Lord Jesus Christ loves. Can we be as proud as before? No, we'll stop being proud. We do not want to be proud, and we want to learn humility from the Lord. And can we be as dishonest as before? No, we'll stop our dishonesty, and we want to be as honest as possible to glorify the name of the Lord. Can we be as blasphemous as before? No, we'll stop being blasphemous. We will want to say words that will glorify the name of the Lord. My dear friends, this will happen if daily we take the time to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ to hear him speak to us. Now, how many times was Moses in the presence of the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights? Now, if you read the word of God, at least four times, all right? At least four times. You read the word of God in the book of Deuteronomy and also in the book of Exodus, you'll find that that is the case. Now, sitting at Jesus' feet will result in our having perfect peace. Now, can you imagine, picture Mary sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and hearing the Lord Jesus Christ speak? Think for a moment. Picture Mary in your mind, in that position, listening to the Lord. Now, here she was seated at Jesus' feet. And then you look at Martha. Martha was encumbered with lots of care, very, very concerned about the physical preparation to provide good hospitality for the Lord Jesus Christ. But Mary was a picture of peace. How different. Her mind was completely focused on the Lord. Now, the story was told of this Dante, the great Italian poet of the 13th century. Yes, he was a man who was very, very tormented by conflicts in his heart. And so he went to the mountains and he came to a monastery. His mind was wrecked and he's with internal conflicts. He knocked at the gates of the monastery, and a monk came and opened the gates and asked him, "What are you seeking? What are you seeking?" And what was Dante's answer? "Peace. I'm looking for peace." But friends, it was still the same old craving, the same old searching for peace when he came to this monastery. But he could find no peace. Even at the seclusion of this monastery in the mountains, my dear friends, he could not find peace. Now, what is the secret for peace? Mary found that secret. And that secret was to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and to hear him speak. Yes, the word of God in Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." I repeat, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Isaiah 26, 3. When a person sits at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and hear him speak, and he having his mind fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, having his mind leaning on the Lord Jesus Christ, what will be the result? The result is this, God will keep his mind in perfect peace. That's what it means. So, if you want to have true peace, the only way for you to have true peace is to every day sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and hear him speak to you. Now, this part of Mary sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ was so vital, so important, so exemplary, that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was rebuking Martha, when Martha complained about Mary's not helping her, said this. And Jesus answered, verse 41, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. The thing that is needful is this good part. And what is this good part? And this good part, the needful part, is to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and to hear him speak to us. That's the good part. And if we want to have true peace, you want to learn true humility, and if you want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ and be as holy as he is holy, my dear friends, that is what we must do. Sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and hear him speak to us. Now let's look at Martha. Laboring, but she labored away from sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Her intention was good. It was to provide hospitality for the Lord. Look at verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to Jesus and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Martha was cumbered with much serving. Now, was what she was doing something that was legitimate and good? Was it good? Was it legitimate? What do you think, friends? Of course, to provide hospitality for the Lord Jesus Christ is really good, a good activity. In fact, we are exhorted to be hospitable. Romans 12:13 says, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. You know what's meant by given to hospitality? It means to pursue hospitality, to run after hospitality, and that's what we must be doing. And I thank God that in this church there are people who are given to hospitality, people who love to serve the Lord through hospitality, and they will go to extra length many a time to provide hospitality to people, to show people, to encourage them in the Lord. Now, this is a good activity to be engaged in, and it's a good quality to have, to be hospitable. And that was what Martha actually wanted to show how much she loved the Lord, and that was through her hospitality. But what was the problem? The problem was Martha was overly occupied. That was the problem. Overly occupied, overly busy. Nothing wrong with being busy with doing what is legitimate. Nothing wrong with being occupied with what is necessary to be occupied with. But to be overly occupied, to be overly busy over physical activities, that was the problem that she was having. To the point that she was neglecting the good part, the necessary, the needful part. And that was to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's ask ourselves, could not she still be hospitable that day if she were to say, for example, sit for some time at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ to hear the Lord speak to her? Surely she could still be hospitable. Maybe the hospitality standard might not be that very good that day, but it would still be good enough. The Lord surely would be very satisfied with the kind of hospitality extended to him by this family. Yes. Now, in the case of Mary, she actually had the good part. She was highly commended by the Lord Jesus Christ for what she did. Now, I think the people who are liable to be guilty of being activity-oriented are preachers, ministers of the gospel. They are very, very inclined to be very guilty of activity-oriented, because the reasoning is this: I'm doing all these things for the Lord. I'm doing this for the Lord. I'm doing that for the Lord. But friends, the problem is preachers can be so activity-oriented to the extent that they might neglect to do what is very necessary. And that is to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and to hear the Lord Jesus Christ speak to them. So ministers of the Lord could be running from one activity to another, managing the administrative affairs of the church, doing counseling, doing teaching, doing visitation, and preaching. My dear friends, this could just make up nothing but activities upon activities, and preachers could end up like Martha ended up herself to be. Yes, and see what happened to Martha. Martha became very complaining. Look at verse 40, the second part. Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. When we are when we have too many things on our plate, and then when we can't cope, I can tell you we can become very complaining. We end up pitying ourselves, just as Martha pitied herself, yes, and so busy that she couldn't cope, and she saw Mary sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I suppose she started accusing her of being very, very negligent and not being helpful. And so she said to the Lord, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" I'm sure she was feeling a lot of self-pity for herself. "I'm working so hard. My sister seems to be just taking it easy, sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ." Yes, my dear friends, what kind of testimony would a preacher or leader of the church be able to bear if he becomes so busy and he starts complaining and he starts having pity on himself? What kind of testimony? I'm sure, my dear friends, that kind of testimony is really not any good testimony at all. And not only leaders are capable of being in that position, all Christians can be in that position if we do not care to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and hear him speak to us. In time, we can become very, very complaining, and we can develop a lot of self-pity for ourselves. When that happens, my dear friends, we are not going to be good testimonies for the Lord. Now, if we are always overly busy and overly occupied, we can end up being barren. Barren in the sense of not producing any kind of spiritual fruit. No fruit of the Spirit is shown in us. Yes, we will be lacking joy, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, and temperance. Unless, until we sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, my dear friends, how can we ever bear the fruit of the Spirit? We can't. We can never bear the fruit of the Spirit if all the time we are very, very complaining, very, very flustered, and very short-fused. How can we be bearing the fruit of the Spirit if we are always in that state of mind? Let us do like what Mary did. She sat at Jesus' feet and heard the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to her. Yes. Now, we can also be barren in the sense that we might not be bringing people to the Lord Jesus Christ, and can be barren also in the sense that we are not building up other people in the faith. We might forget that soul winning and building other people up in the faith are really spiritual work and not physical activities. How can the Lord bless the spiritual work that we are doing, so-called spiritual work we are doing, when in actual fact it is the work of the flesh? No, my dear friends. Yes, we will be barren. We can't do that spiritual work because the Lord is not going to bless that work if we do not care to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and to listen to him. John 15, verse 5 says, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." And that is absolutely true, my dear friends. Until and unless we sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and allow the Lord Jesus Christ to work in us and to us, we can do nothing. We can never be spiritually fruitful or faith. One minister was burning himself up. Yes. His pulpit ministry was suffering because he was one who was very, very activity oriented. He would run from one activity to another activity. And in time, his congregation members were not well fed. Because from the pulpit on the Sunday, he was not feeding the congregation members with the word of God. He would be simply narrating his experiences of the activities that he was engaged in. He was just telling stories, actually. So the members of the congregation were not being fed because of the poor ministry, the poor pulpit ministry that he was administering. Because he was not focused on the word of God, not focused on the Lord. Now, one distinguished Mary had this to say to minister. He said this, they were good friends, and he said this on this minister, actually, he said, this minister was more effective in his spends more time at his desk studying the Word of God than running around from one thing to the other. Time came enough. True enough, there came a time when he was so ready for himself. He was so happy that he had to go and back to the Lord.
Right.
And the Lord looked at Peter, and the Lord knew that Peter was going to deny him, and he knew that Peter's heart would be shattered, completely shattered, after he had denied the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord felt so very, very sorry for him. And we read in Luke chapter 2, verse 31. You might want to just look at that verse. Luke 22, verse 31. Luke 22, 31, yes. Alright, I read for you. And the Lord said unto Simon Peter, alright, this was Peter. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon. You see, it was not just Simon, but Simon, Simon. Behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sieve you as wheat. But I prayed for you that thy faith fail not. Yes, you see, the Lord was so caring, so gentle. And he said to him, Simon, Simon. He didn't say, Simon, no, but Simon, Simon. And then you remember in the case of the Apostle Paul, when he was converted, when he was on the way to the city of Damascus, and he came face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Lord, when Saul or Paul came face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ said this to him in Acts 9:4. Same thing. And Paul fell on the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Did the Lord just say, Saul, why persecutest thou me? No, it was not Saul. But it's Saul, Saul. Saul, Saul. Why persecutest thou me? You see how tender the Lord was. Saul, Saul. It was the same also in the wilderness when God called Moses to serve him from out of the burning bush. He called out to Moses. He didn't say, Moses, come serve me. No, it was Moses, Moses. You see how tender, how loving, how caring our Lord is. It is a call of, when he calls, it is a call of tenderness, a call of love, a call of mercy. And that is how the Lord speaks to us today. Very kind, very gracious, very, very tender. And when he rebukes, it is with kindness and with mercy and with tenderness. Now, if the Lord does not rebuke us, he's not being true to us. He's true to us. He loves us very much. And so he has to rebuke us. But when he rebukes us, my dear friends, he speaks the truth. And he always speaks the truth in love. And surely this is the example we must follow. If we have to rebuke people, and sometimes we have to, yes, remember this. Remember how the Lord did it. He always spoke the truth, and he always spoke the truth in love. Now, did not the Lord know about the cares of Martha? Of course he knew. He could see what was going on in the home that day, as we said. But more importantly, he knew what was in the heart of Martha. He knew how Martha was feeling. Yes, and he saw the cares in her heart. That was what the Lord saw. He saw the cares in her heart. Now, we could be handling a lot of responsibilities and yet be carefree. But we can be handling just a few responsibilities and not be carefree. Alright? Now, whether we are burdened with responsibilities or not burdened with responsibilities is dependent on how we manage those responsibilities in our heart. How do we manage them? Thankfully, the Lord reads our hearts. He knows how we are managing things in our heart. And friends, because he knows what is in our heart, the cares that are in our heart, we can surely do something about our cares. We can cast all our cares upon him. As Peter says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, would Martha not be so bothered if he did what Mary did? And by sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ to hear the Lord speak to her. Yes, surely, my dear friends, she would not be that bothered if she had taken the trouble to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. What Martha failed to do, Mary did very well. Yes, what Mary did is really very vital, very important for all of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord says, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And that good part, remember, my dear friends, is to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and to hear him speak to us. Don't just sit down there and go to sleep. No. sit at his feet and hear him speak to us. We are attentive to him, my dear friends. We sit at his feet, attentive to him. We have indeed chosen a very, very good path. Like Mary, let's practice sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, which means we are to submit to him. It means telling the Lord, Lord, you are my master. Yes, I am your servant. It means humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. It means learning how to be humble. It means wanting to be holy because the Lord is holy. And friends, if we have that desire to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and really practice sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and hearing him speak to us, the result is we will have peace, even perfect peace. Yes, and let's not be like Martha, who was very activity-oriented, who failed to see the importance of sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are activity-oriented, my dear friends, we can end up being very, very complaining, and we can end up pitying ourselves. And what kind of testimony would we bear for the Lord Jesus Christ? My dear friends, the kind of testimony that we bear for him will surely be very, very dishonoring to him. So friends, if we want to be fruitful, we also need to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we want to show forth the fruit of the Spirit, even love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, and faith, we must necessarily sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we want to be fruitful in the way of bringing people to the Lord Jesus Christ and building up other people in the faith, it is incumbent on us to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and hear him speak to us. Thank God, our Lord is the God of love, a true friend. He must rebuke us, he must correct us, because he's a true friend. But how kind and how gracious and how merciful when he rebukes us. He rebukes us with love. And when he calls us, my dear friends, it is always a call of love. Martha, Martha, Peter or Simon, Simon, Saul, Saul, Moses, Moses. So what lessons have we learned this morning? The most important lesson that we must learn today is that we must learn to sit at Jesus' feet and hear him speak to us and not be like Martha, who is overly occupied with physical activities. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the example of Mary in the Word of God, who sat at your feet and heard your word. Lord, we pray that we may be like her, and you have identified the part that she was involved in as the good part. Lord, we pray that we may also recognize that this is the good part that we must have. It is needful that we be involved in this good part. Father, we know that we need to be actively engaged in this good path so that we may be fruitful for you, so that we may be like the Lord Jesus Christ, humble and holy. Father, we pray also that we may always be very conscious that we may not be too activity-oriented, because if we know that if we are too activity-oriented and we fail to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will end up being very complaining, we will end up developing self-pity for ourselves, in which case we will not be a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you will help us to learn these precious lessons from your word of life today. For we pray and ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.